Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. You know it was by God's grace. Remember, Paul sought the Lord three times. He pleaded with the Lord. Take it away. Take it away from me, he said. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about the weakness. Brothers and sisters, I wish I could tell you how important this is. When you're weak, then are you strong. You're not dealing with no ordinary God. You got to know that you will win. What you're going through, you will win. You have to know that as you go through things, you are a winner. The Bible declares and decrees that you are a winner. You just have to accept that you are a winner. That's what you have to declare. You have to decree that it is your winning season. I don't care what the enemy say. You have to declare and decree that it is your winning season. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Father God, we thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Father God, that your word have declared whose we are and what we are. I thank you, Father God, for delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into your kingdom. Hallelujah. I declare that through you, Heavenly Father, we've won the battle. It's through you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved and you have ordained us to walk in victory. I declare, Father God, we're won the victory because it's our faith that have made us whole. Thank you. Thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it was your faith, our faith that have made us whole. I thank you for your anointing. And I declare and decree, Father God, that this word will go forward. I decree it, Father God, that if I have to preach to the wind today, if I have to preach to the air today, if I have to cry aloud and spare not today, somebody will be blessed by your word. Now, I ask you, Father God, to remember those that are traveling and give them traveling mercy and your grace. And those that are asking for prayer, we put ourselves in agreement with them. Because your word says two or more will touch and agree according to your word. So, Father God, we are agreeing according to your word. We're not agreeing to what we think or feel, but it's according to your word. Now I ask these and all blessings in Christ's name. And for his sake, I pray. And everybody agreed. They said amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers and sisters. This is such an important lesson. The reality of the new creation. And we've discussed the new creation a little bit, where it started from, and that type of thing. But we got to come to the place to know what the reality is. Just like the reality, I hate to say it, you may feel one way, you may act one way, but the reality, you is what you are. That's why I be trying to tell homosexuals, and I be trying to tell blacks and whites, it's okay, that's the outward. But what about the inward? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the realities of the inward. When you understand it's the state of being, it's who you are. That's what reality is. It's what you are. Now, you can be what you are based on what you feel or what you think, or you can be what you are based on the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. So when I'm talking about realities, when I'm talking about realities, I'm talking about actuality. What's really real. Either you have hands or you don't. That's reality. It's more than a phenomenon. It's reality. It's facts, brothers and sisters. So the reality of the new creation is all predicated on what the word of God say you are. Not what you think you are, not what you feel you are, but it's what the word of God have decreed and declared over your life. So when I talk about reality of the new creation, I'm talking about reality of the new, and the old is passed away. So let me begin, hallelujah, because I had made a couple of checklists and a couple of checkpoints here that I wanted to kind of get into. How, and I'm asking God right now, teach us that the war, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. See, you may not know it. You're at war. We are in a spiritual battle. Forget the flesh. Forget what your optical nerves is telling you, brother and sister. That's a trick. You're in a spiritual war, and you have to see it in the spirit. And yes, you're winning. But just like Israel had to rise up physically to take the land of Canaan, you have to rise up in the spirit. If we're going to establish the domain and the dominion of God in this earth, in this body, you being born in this country, where you live, give you certain legal rights as a human being. As a Christian, you also have certain legal rights and choices spiritually and physically. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. He bought it. He paid for those rights. Jesus took Satan's legal rights away from him. Man, I might preach this thing today. Jesus took them. He went to hell. He went in his own backyard and he took them. When he rose from the grave and he had put us in a charge and enforced I defeated Satan. I'm going to say he defeated for believers. See, because the Bible says that Jesus will set at the right hand of the Father until his enemy are made his footstool. See, when you read Hebrews 10, 12, 13, we may read that in a minute. Do you know what that really means? It means Jesus is waiting on us to kick Satan. Help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus is waiting on us. See, you got to look at this as a body. Christ was the head. The apostles and disciples is the neck. And so since 2000, the body is being formed. So we're the feet. So when you read Hebrews 10, 12 through 13, you got to understand what that means. That means Jesus waiting on us. Because we're the feet to kick Satan out of our affairs. He's waiting on us to become to the full stature of Christ. He's waiting on us to act like Christ. And we've been slack. Oh, we've been going to church, been singing songs, been praises. But how about acting like what we've been called to do? You've been called out of the world. You're not part of that. You've been called to victory. He won it at the cross. You have legal rights now in God's operation in his kingdom. All you need to know is how you do it. And here's our four ways you can stand for your legal covenant rights. I'm going to take my time to say this. There are four ways. I don't know if I'm going to go through them all today, but I want you to know. If you're going to fight for your covenant right, the first thing, now y'all know we talked about yesterday, we're a dual citizen, so I need to go there. You know, you're part of you in heaven, part of you on earth. You're seated in Christ. But just put a pin there for a moment. Because if you're going to fight for your covenant right, the first thing you really need to do is find out what they are. Find out what your rights are. Do this, brothers and sisters. I'm so filled right now and so full of what God is. You got to know that it's in his word. Where do you find it? In his word, you ask. The Bible is your spiritual bill of rights. The Bible, the Word of God, is your spiritual bill of rights, outlining all the rights and privilege that's available to you. Whether or not you are partakers of your right is another matter. I mean, because of your ignorance, I can't help that. You know, that's on you. And I want nobody to kind of feel some type of way because I say certain things. I had to tell somebody yesterday, don't allow my confidence to offend your insecurity. Don't allow that. Because I'm confident in the word of God. And you may have some insecurities. You may have some stuff going on in you that you go, oh, well, that's you. It don't have nothing to do with me. And it don't have anything to do with the word of God. So because the matter of ignorance, it will rob you of your abundant life. You have an abundant life. Can I say that? You got a big life. You got a great life. So the best illustration of this is the story of the man who saved for years to be able to buy a vote. And he a ticket to America. Once he had saved enough money, he bought this ticket and boarded the ship. And since he didn't have any money left for his food, he brought along some crackers and some cheese. Every evening at at a certain time that they would eat, he would look into the dining room at the other passenger enjoying their food, you know, big steaks and stuff. Then he would return to his cabin and he'd eat the crackers and cheese. So the day the ship docked in New York, a steward came to him and said, "Sir, have we offered you offended you anyway, he said. And he said, "I noticed that you didn't eat any of the meats in our dining room." The man answered, "Oh, no. You see, I didn't have enough money for that meal, so I ate in my room." Then the steward said, "But sir, your meals were included in your ticket." I just want you to think about this. So there's so much included in your rights with God. Just being saved is not enough. You have an abundance of life, which God allowed Jesus to provide for us. So let's take a look at this in a real short list. Some of your rights. I'm not going to go through them all. You have the right to approach the throne of God. You don't have to get in the building. You don't have to ask nobody to pray with you. You don't have to spread out a rug. It's your right. You can go in your closet. You can lay on top of your bed. It's your right to pray wherever you feel like it. You have a right of a healthy body and a healthy mind, especially at a time like this, when mental health is one of the number one health issues on the market. You have a right to declare and decree that you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's your right. Now, you can let folks talk you out of it. You cannot pay attention, but it's yours. You have a right to prosperity on earth. Yeah. You don't owe sin anything. You don't owe the devil anything. You have a right to a home if you want it. You have a right to a car if you want it. See, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So whatever God has, you have. Remember, you're joint heirs with Christ. You're joint heirs. You have a right to free of fear. You have a right of total peace. How about that? You have a right to be peaceful. You don't have to put up with a whole lot of stuff because you're a child of God. Folks got you thinking that, oh, you got to put up with this. No, you ain't put up with anything. You got to put up with that mess. Let it go. I tell you right now, you have a right to take authority over the devil. That's right, because you're in Christ. You have a right to expect good things in your life. See, the devil lied to us so much. Listen, brothers and sisters. When I tell you that the reality of the new creation, this is some of the stuff that the new creation give you. You got to just stake your claim. Once you know your rights, you can know how to stake your claims. You can know where to stake it. You can know. You can know to stake your claim and put a demand on those rights. Remember the prodigal son? I'm not going there today. But you know that you can demand them from God. You already provided. He already provided them. You just have to be determined that the devil have to release them things in your hands. How you ask? Go to the word. Then find the scripture that outlines your right in areas you are seeking. Then take a stand and declare. Like for an example, "Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that I am healed and not that I'm healed by Christ's stripes. The word of God says, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And you stand on Deuteronomy 28:13. And that I am own no man anything but to love them, according to Romans 13:8. Your word says, you give your children good and perfect gift from above, because of James 1:17. So you stand on that. You expect good stuff. You don't have to expect rotten apples, rotten fruit. He give you good fruit. And you take pleasures in the prosperity of a servant, according to Psalms 35:27. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I am debt free. I speak to the mountains, and they have to move. All we got to do is stand in on the word of God. When you speak that thing, stay with it. Declare it and stay with it. Don't get off of it. No matter what, you stay on the thing. And you ask why? Because that's what the word of God says. That's what it says. And you say what the word says. With everything, with every scripture. Doesn't matter. See, so Satan, I want you to, Satan got some people right now he's battling with. And you don't even have to go there with Satan. You have to know, you don't even have to go there with him. He must obey you. Yeah, it's not a matter of choice. He don't have that choice. He has to obey you. Why? Because he has to obey the word of God. There's something else I was going to share. I was looking for. Well, I'm going to do a little quick outline and we'll get into it tomorrow. You got to hide God's word in your spirit and just say it every time. Stop adding stuff. Just stand on the pure word of God. And say it over and over and over. Somebody said, well, but this happened that. No, no, no. It was about God. If God did it, then give him the credit. I know you think your auntie, I know uncle, I know this person gave you money. Hey, brothers, all that's good. But let's give the glory to God. If we're not careful, I had to tell a brother this yesterday, if you're not careful, it's easy to let Satan use your tongue to say things that's not even true. And a lot of times we'll be saying things that ain't really true. Here you are not, you're not 70 years old. And you're telling, oh, I thank God for a day that I didn't even deserve. That's a lie. You did deserve it. But you don't know your rights. God said, he promised you 70. By reason of health and strength. That's 70 years. Here you are, 25 years old. Talking about, it's a day that you know, I thank God for a day I didn't deserve. You did deserve it. God promised you that. Don't be saying that. You got to say everything Satan bring to your mind. You don't have to say it. Because you don't have what you say. So you thank God. Just for life, health, and strength. That's enough right there. You don't have to try to overdo it. Overspeak it. Who are you trying to impress? How about let's impress God? Lord, I thank you that I'm going to have 70 and more. Thank you for it. Yeah. But to tell God he didn't promise, he promised you that. Don't go against his word. For who? For what? He promised you an abundant life. And you're going to say, well, yeah, that's why Jesus came, brothers and sisters. Remember John 10:10? He came. That's your covenant right. God's word is full of covenant promises and abundance for us. But for God promised to work in our lives, we need to learn how to activate them, to get them started considering these three things I'm telling you about. You're to live an abundant life. You 30, you 40, you 50, you 60, you 65. Man, you ought to be thanking God. Don't talk about what he You didn't deserve. You deserve it because it's part of your covenant right. It's the reality of the new creation. He promised us that. So why would you tell God something different than what his word says? No. And rebuke anybody that does that. It's okay. It's okay. If they want to know, tell them, say, explain it to them. Hey, you've been promised 70. You don't want what God's giving you? Are you refusing God's stuff? What's wrong with you? You let the devil use you like that? No, you can still be thankful. Oh, well, Pastor. No, I just want you to know these are your rights. This is the reality of the new covenant. Remember, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You got a whole, like I told you yesterday. Listen, brothers and sisters, you're talking about revelation. Man, if you ain't never heard this, you need to hear this one more time. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it. I've said it many times, but I tell me it. Because you're part of the new creation, we are experiencing something Moses couldn't experience, Joshua couldn't experience, Enoch couldn't, Jacob, not even Abraham. You're living at a time that you're going to experience something they didn't experience. You're living a time that John didn't experience. And John the Baptist was the greatest man ever been born by a woman. But you're living at a time that none of those experienced what God has given us. You ask, what is that? We are part of a new creation in Christ. What that means, I'm glad you asked. We are the first human being to ever live on heaven and in earth. We can live in heaven. We're seated at the right hand side. Remember that scripture Pastor read yesterday? Seek those things above where Christ said. Well, that's where we're at. We're in heavenly stuff. And I got plenty of paper for you now. I got plenty of paper for you to show you. You're a dual citizenship. That's what you got. But you have to declare that. You have to declare that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you are a citizen of heaven. And I know you're a citizen wherever you're living at there. So if you're a citizen in heaven and you're seated in heavenly places, that's right now, because God chose you to be one of his lively stone. See, you got to know this. We got to stop being cheated. The Bible says we are part of a divine nature. Your nature in heaven is divine. It's divine. But you have to activate that. You have to take advantage of that. You have to agree with the word of God and say, Lord, I've hid the word in my heart because I don't want to sin against you. That's why I do it. Oh, you don't believe that now? That 119 Psalm 11, do I need to get somebody to read that? Or do we need to understand Romans 12 and 2 says that we need to have our mind renewed on the word of God. We're not to be conformed to this world. See, that's worldly talk. Scripture talk is different. We're not to fashion or adopt the things of this world, but we're to be spiritual because that's what God made us. We've been created in his spirit. We're new creatures. So you got the right to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you perfect in his spirit. If you leave today, you need to be eternally ready. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you eternally ready. So if you stand up there and God say, okay, what did I promise you? You're going to say 70 by reason of health and strength. And you're not a man that you can lie. You tell me I can have 70 years on earth. And Lord, thank you for 80. Lord, thank you for 85. Now, that's what he didn't promise you. He didn't promise you 80. He didn't promise you 40. He didn't promise you 50. But he promised you 70. See how the enemy can trick people? Yeah, see, the enemy would just love to trick you and not accept the word of God. And I want to tell you, if you're past 70, man, you sure enough ought to be thanking God. Because you are truly, truly, you are blessed. Because you're living extra time. Okay? Just want to throw that little bit out there. So, let me say this. Learn to release your faith in God's word. That's what we're doing, releasing your faith in God's word. That's what salvation is all about. Remember Romans 10 and 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart or in thy spirit. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou confess, faith always speak. But it cannot say the words of God if the word does not first reside in your mouth, in your mind. It has to be in your mind. Then you get it in your spirit. Why? Because we have to speak it. What we think, what we say, what is in our heart. So is a man thinking, so is he. So what are you thinking? Think the word. Then you're going to speak the word. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. See, a lot of times, Satan, I want you to know that. He don't want you to know it's okay to think the word, because the Bible says, so is a man thinking in his heart, so is he. We done took that total out of context. Well, yeah, they evil because that's what they think. Wait a minute, back it up. Why won't you teach them to say what the words say so they'll have it in their mind? So is a man thinking, that's what's in his head, so is he. So let him think the word so he can speak the word. Because faith cometh by hearing and that's where faith comes. It comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, we're at the time now, brothers and sisters, where everybody can have something to say if you like to. Just speak up. Anything you want to share, you want to edify, build up your brother and your sister. Let them know that God is pleased with them. Your faith has the victory. Your faith gives you the victory. Your faith in the word of God gives you the victory. See, you've been promised the abundant life. Believe it, claim it, and receive it. Exercise your faith. God is with you. Therefore, you cannot fail. You'll never fail. I'm going to speak to somebody right now. And I wouldn't give a good half of what the devil done told you. You are not a failure. I wouldn't care if you didn't have no legs. You're not a failure. I didn't care if you don't have no arm. You're not a failure. I don't care if you don't have a mouth. You're not a failure. Well, preacher, how can you say that? Because it's your faith. You remember, you got a brand new body. I don't know if somebody told you that. So your legs and arms and all that don't matter. You are not a failure. Your spirit is being prepared for that prepared body that God prepared before the foundation of the world. It don't have nothing to do with this world here, man. So get your eyes off the flesh and realize you are you have the victory. That's the word for you. You got God inside mind. God done prepare us a body. He want us to get our spirit ready for that body. Start this year putting the word of God first. Start this year by declaring that you have the victory. Start this year by declaring that you becoming God inside mind. Fear won't keep you. Fear can't hold you. Don't make me go there. God have not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of a sound mind, a peace. He gave us the spirit of truth, and it will show up. It will show out. And you began to, and believe it or not, when you speak certain things, you're helping people. You don't have to be a, go along with the crowd. You don't have to. You heard Pastor say something. You heard Pastor Beasley say something. And the word of God, hey, call me to the side and say, you know, Pastor, well, why do you say that? Why do you say what you say? I mean, I need to understand it. I need to know what God's word says for my life. See, because you got to prepare yourself for hostility, for persecution. I told you the other day, Jesus said, they hate me. They gonna hate you too. See, people hate me for that word. They don't hate me for me. I'm a good dude. I'm a nice guy. I'm a gentleman. I bet people like my presence. People like being around me. They don't think I'm crazy. But the moment you speak that word, woo, get ready to get persecuted. Get ready for them evil spirits to start getting ugly. But why would you say that? Because it's God's word. That's what Jesus said. He said, I always say what my daddy say to say. I will give thanks unto the Lord. I have accepted his joy and his peace. So you got to know that you're not really of the world, even though you're in the world, but your other citizenship is in heaven, and you're an ambassador, so you represent heaven here. That's the only reason you stay here. God didn't keep some of y'all here just for that reason. Just for that reason. So you can show people you're an ambassador. You bring in God's word. You got to bring the truth. And other folks won't believe it, so God can call you out of the world. Yeah. And you just have to refuse to be conformed to this world. See, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Satan got them all. But he don't have you. He don't have you, he don't have you, because you're in the world, but you're just not of the world. See, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And he does not respect the proud, nor such turn aside to lies. You're blessed. Because you say, you know what? I'm going to say what the word say. That will make you blessed. Anyone have anything they'd like to share?
I'd like to say good afternoon and such a beautiful word that you teaching, Pastor.
Thank you.
The one that stood out the most to me was when you were talking about faith. It says, shield of faith, quench all fiery darts of the enemy, and help me when I do not understand. And it says, Lord, you are the author and finisher of my faith.
Yes.
Let my come from you. You are faithful. And then Psalms, 91:4 says, he shall overcome thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Say it.
Amen, amen. I am thankful for his word, because I can go to his word and know that I am a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the excellency of him. And that was 1 Peter 2:9-10. Then I can say I am a citizen of heaven and seated in heaven right now. Philippians 3:20. Amen, amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful. with his word and knowing that, you know, he's faithful. And whatever God says, we can have. Amen. We just got to trust him. That's how to test them. Bring it in our house. Stand on the word of God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God is in control. Amen. We just got to say thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor. You know, the word of God says we have been raised up together with him. Did you know that? We've been raised up.
Amen.
We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the spirit. That people be able to see his grace. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're so far behind in what God wants us to be. We got to get on the ball here. We're the feet. We're holding up the things of God right now. We're the feet. So whatever's in the head ought to be in the feet. The body been built. Took us 2,000 years to get here. Now it's time that we do what we're supposed to be doing. He have quickened us. He have caused us to be alive with Christ and together with Christ. By his grace, he did this. That's what saved you, was his grace. And it's sufficient for us to go beyond what the eye sees. His grace. This is the year of grace and truth. Truth and grace. This is the year. This is the year of the reality of his grace and his truth.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else? Anyone else want to give a shout out? Hallelujah. Anyone else want to give a shout out? I thank God for you, Pastor. I just thank God you read. I thank God you're abiding in his word and God showing you. Listen, brothers and sisters, the devil ain't no friend of yours. He don't want you to say what God say to say. When the devil starts telling you to say what God say, come to me, please. Please. So he don't do that. He ain't never did that. He didn't do that with Adam, and he didn't do it with Eve. Matter of fact, he put Eve to the side and said, well, I know God has said this, but here's what's really going on. Here's what you need to see. Here's what you need to know. God already given us his word. Let's say what God's word say. We are whose we are and what we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Folks say, oh, you black. No, I'm not black and I'm not white. I'm a chosen race. I'm part of a royal priesthood. It haven't even appeared what we look like.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at me in the flesh, you missed it. You have missed God. But if you look at me in the spirit, you may see something different. Okay? You might see something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. Sounds good. Hallelujah. Well, if not, we'll see you all on tomorrow for Thankful Thursday.